gods above and below and separate myth from truth. Join us for the Great Old Ones.
Okay, who remembers what happened last time?
We...
Allegan.
Finally came down from the mountain, and we found some boars on the side of a river, and
one of them was a druid,
and then a bunch of archons showed up
because Nydia spoke the language that shall be not be named. John Michael gave me a thumbs up.
You're learning.
And as they approached, Anu wrapped himself around Allegan's arm and used himself as a channel for his spells, and also lost all of his fur and gained 4 more eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And looked suspiciously like Dark.
Mm-hmm.
It is my god.
This is true.
And we beat the Archons, and Ravy and Waif did an autopsy on one,
which was super smart.
It was.
Nydia. And Ravy and Nydia.
Ravy and Nydia. And Waif.
Waif was there. She was very excited.
She oversaw it.
She got her daggers back.
She was very excited.
And that's when you discovered that there was plant life in the Archon's blood, right? Or in their body.
In their body.
And it was the yellow flowers that carried the sickness.
Was it?
Contradicting me, so I will move on.
Well, was it the hag blight that is making things more nature-y that was inside the Archon?
There was the hag blight, which is what we believe we saw in the stag way, way back in like episode 1 and 2. And that made it look rather unnatural with a bunch of eyes and gooiness and just kind of general nastiness. And that was from a dart that was in its side that when we pulled it out, the plague went away. And then we found out that what we have been calling the sickness, which is what's causing everything to become more tied into nature, was created to combat the plague.
Right, so why would it be an Archons that are fighting against it, seeming to be allied with the hags?
I seem to recall having a bit of a mental breakdown about that myself, but it's possible that it's an, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a deterrent, like a...
like the sickness trying to fight back?
Or it could be a corruption that leads all the way to the top.
We discovered there was a lot of cloning going on with the goblins and stuff. So it could be another set of that.
And someone is making Archons.
Well, that or it's the... What we have been now calling the sickness, and this is just me going off on a tangent, the sickness basically laying like a trap or like I know there's a term for this. Basically, sickness infests the Archons without their knowledge, and then when they least suspect it, like releases and does the most damage when they're in a group together. But that's just my thoughts on it.
The blight or the hag blight or whatever you want to call it is a byproduct of them shutting down the druids.
No, that was the sickness.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
The sickness. The druids?
The sickness was created by the druids, along with someone
else. Voltrace?
Voltrace.
And I think one other person. But Jim, but Anton was telling us we might be wrong about that.
Right. So my theory was that, or what I thought was, the plague then caused the druids to take on their wild form. And that's why nobody has seen druids, because we thought they were just monstrous animals created by the sickness.
Like the boar we saw.
Or the snake.
Right. Well, then later, as we went further down the mountain, we were going to do a tent revival. The guy had a staff with a sparrow and a bat on it, I believe.
That was indeed what he had.
And he was there. They were about to try to kill a demon. And then it turned out that, no, this guy was not what he said he was. He's actually one of those snake people.
And then just out of nowhere, this tent just erupted into flame. It's the damnedest thing I'd ever seen.
Right. You had nothing to do with that at all.
Nothing to do with anybody lobbing a flaming sphere into it. And apparently that was the tent where they kept their oily rags and half-empty cans of paint varnish, because that SOB just lit up like a Roman candle. And then just all hell broke loose. Because what we took for the priest cast an obscuring mist, which we identified as not being divine magic. And then Ogun cast a dispel so hard that it dispelled the mist.
It was a good spell.
Yeah. And the illusion that the priest had over him. And he was a literal serpent man.
A belly man, if you will.
A belly man.
I was gonna say the same thing, the belly man.
And Ogun and Ravi and Mativis and I think Logoth got in there. And I think Logoth and Ravi managed to free the demon, mm-hmm. the prisoner. And they killed the priest. And the demon handed something to Ravi, a piece of paper. And he summoned, what was it, a horse of death? Or like a horse that had like the touch of death on it?
He summoned a horse of some sort, yes.
Summoned a horse of some sort, of course. And rode off, and as he did, he tossed an ion stone to Allegan, which...
Anu stole it, right?
Anu grabbed, because Allegan failed his reflex save. But when it started rotating around his head, he no longer needed to breathe.
Okay, I got a question. Did Ravi actually share that note with anybody?
Or I don't think she did, because everything happened in a matter of seconds.
Okay, well, this is slightly meta, but if you'll forgive me, did anybody do a check to establish that that creature in that circle was actually chaotic instead of lawful?
No checks were done.
Not a single check was made.
Okay, answers my question. No, I mean, like, it's because, I mean, if you see something that looks, you know, scary, has horns, wings, and whatnot, you know, it can be one of two things, you know, if it's a hellish being. So that's an important distinction to make.
It's either abyssal or infernal.
Exactly.
Because they might have that ability. I don't. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like between us, like between, you know, all of the priests we have in the party and, you know, like all the magic users we have in the party, if somebody had the wherewithal to be like, hey, what's this? We could probably deduced it pretty easily.
But could we didn't, Anton, have without having like a detect good and evil, can we just do it?
Oh yeah, yeah. You could have rolled history, knowledge planar, knowledge nature. There's a lot of different ways to get to that. You know, it was but to that point, and again, it was very chaotic. You do know that Crandall, which was the entity's name, was a barbed devil. So that should answer that question.
Cool. Hence why it was actually helping us instead of slitting our throats.
Exactly. So that's that. Now that all of that has transpired and we are caught up, let's get the game on the road. So the horse rushes off. The people have scattered, like all the pitchfork wielding, torch bearing kind of rabble that had gathered at this sort of tent revival have split, running through the woods. There's a couple of horses who made their will checks, and they're just kind of standing around like, huh, that's weird. But they've left the tents. They've left most of their accoutrement. And the large tent is slowly smoldering as kind of the dust settles and you guys are just kind of standing here looking around at each other like, what the hell just happened? And I will leave you to it.
What the hell just happened?
I love you so much.
And the thing with the thing, and then the thing got on the thing and it went off, and I don't know, and the thing, and I...
What the hell?
No, really. What just happened? Why were things lit on fire?
Oh, man, that's good.
That's a good question to start with, because I didn't cast the fires.
Just going to look at Logoth.
I don't have any fire spells.
Nothing on my sleeves.
Neither do I.
When I say if something's on fire, which shouldn't be, it's normally your fault.
That's just your tail, dear.
Wait a minute. All right, I recall only one time that I set something on fire, and as I recall, it saved our asses.
No, he's
not you, Logoth. Ravi. Ravi's always setting fire to shit.
Yeah, Allegan just saunters over, trying to look. Wow, look at the grass. It's really green.
He's probably like.
Did Anu accidentally learn fire spells?
Wait a minute, Alligan is gasping for air like that. I'm going to try to like help him. I'm going to think he's choking.
No, I'm fine. I just.
You guys see? There's a small blue stone. It's like a piece of quartz, and it has a spiral carved into it, and it's floating lazily in kind of a diagonal orbit around Alligan's head now.
Well, I would definitely be checking him out and making sure he's okay and healthy. Like, is his heart beating and stuff? I would be checking out that stone, like maybe doing an arcana check or something on it.
You know you don't want to touch it.
Without even like doing anything, I know I should not touch it.
Yeah, it just gives you the impression that touching it would be a very bad idea.
Okay, so I'm getting myself back together. I'm thinking the stone that the demon thing just threw at me is allowing me to be okay with not breathing.
And how are you talking? You can draw air into your lungs, but you don't need it.
That seems to be what's happening.
Did you like?
Like I just stand there. I just stand there, not breathing, and show that I'm still fine.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Alligan have a pulse.
Yes.
Weird. And it's regular beat.
No, it's healthy beat? It's very, very slow. It's very slow.
Very slow. That freaks me out. That's not normal.
So first you have a strap-on dragon that you borrowed from...
Don't call it
that's
that.
Bad.
Well, it's... You know, and now you don't breathe?
At least you don't have to worry about any choking you anymore.
Very true. Or if there's another gas thing, I should be fine, in theory.
Still a slow heartbeat?
It's not rushed.
Yeah, it's very slow.
Alligan, do jumping jacks for me. Do some jumping jacks. Run in place. Get your heart going.
I start jogging in place. I don't...
you kind of get smacked in the back of the head by a little tail.
Oh, okay. No.
Yeah, this is... I think I'm okay. I will let you know if I start to see any more adverse effects.
And did his heartbeat stay exactly the same or change when he was jogging and got smacked on the head?
I mean, it seems to be about normal. It's pretty monotone. It's just very slow. It doesn't increase or decrease.
Oh, that's not...
I mean, he's not breathing. There's a rock around his head and a dragon. Everything about the situation is not normal. It's a very not normal situation. Alligan looks weird.
You look weird, Alligan.
Oh, I know. I am working to accept this.
That's my diagnosis. If you need me, you know where to go.
Here's your bill.
And, oh, yes, the fire. Things moved a little quick, and I'm sorry I didn't have time to give a heads up. I was just trying to cause a distraction to free the prisoner.
Consider the distraction worked.
Yeah, I was expecting kind of more of a lull, rolling fire, maybe some smoke, a little chaos. I didn't expect the tent to go up that quickly.
I guess we should check it out to see why.
Anybody have any magic that might put it out?
Yeah, because it's still burning.
I got nothing.
Fire spells.
Does anybody have a sonic boom at least?
Our monkey samurai friend has an unending bottle of water.
True, but it only comes out from the gourd. It would take a while to put it out.
Get to work.
Why don't you try fighting fire with fire? Burn the oxygen out of the air.
I mean, I don't mind. We all suffocate.
But why did you want to set the prisoner free anyway?
Well...
Because we definitely walked in on an execution.
Yes, and I got some information that I trust that the priest was not what he appeared.
Care to share where you got that information?
From the demon we let loose.
No! From...
You've got a habit of talking to demons without a...
Dragon
checking.
That I am currently hosting around my neck.
On you?
If a dragon could look like it was trying to look very innocent, it's currently just like looking around like, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Oh, look, that's a leaf. What an interesting leaf that is that I'm staring at and not paying attention right now.
Hello, ground.
Oh, look, the sky.
Well, everything's melting around us. Perhaps we should leave. Unless you have any other demon friends we should know about and possibly try to save.
Speaking of your demon friend, what was on that note he passed you?
I haven't even read it. Everything's on fire, so I have enough light. I guess I should just read this aloud. I'm the last. I will tell the...
Audent
void. Seven seats are vacant once more. Wrath has been freed upon the prime and seeks pride in the space between spaces. The throne of stars has been claimed by a shadow of what has been and what is coming. She has planted herself in the heart of our world and grows in the deep places once home to the old kingdom. The north wind sits in the spire of the sea and waits for war to start. The heart of avarice has stolen the spells of the feather serpents and seeks the old covens in the sea of sand to give rise to the ageless viper. That timeless snake dreams in the heart of the dunes, waiting for the doors to be thrown open, waiting for the endless night to come. So he and his endless kingdoms can take the prime as their own. The thing beyond the stars are a false flag. The nest of vipers are already in this place, preparing a second kingdom for the mother of scale. She will rule below as her twins rule above. A snake in the heavens, a snake in the hells, and a snake in the prime. Find the djinn, find the loa. The aboleth have gone to war.
That scaled sister is what that child of Gig was talking about. That he worshipped and was in Veronia. But Waif, Gregory,
mm-hmm.
Logoth, did anything spark your attention?
Oh, I don't really know. None of that sounds very familiar. Waif, does any of that sound familiar to you? She kind of looks at him. She just kind of shakes her head and purses her lips. Less of a, I know something, and more of, I don't know anything and feel ignorant because none of this is making sense to me.
Does anybody have a knowledge geography as to Sea of Sand or anything like that?
I can roll it.
With natural, a six. Natural one?
No.
That seven Mativis won't get you much, my friend.
Do have a guy.
Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and pop.
It seems like Ravy, if anybody knows, has heard about a place like that. It's been you and all your readings that you've done.
Gregory doesn't know anything.
Can I roll a knowledge religion or knowledge arcana on the mother of scale?
Sure.
Rule above and below, that kind of stuff.
Nat 20. Yeah, nat 20. Nat 20. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so the mother of scale actually... What's weird about that is you're fairly versed in the arcane and entities that interact with it. And the Mother of Scale is not anywhere in anything you would know. It's almost like it's something that doesn't belong. And I think that stands out more to you than anything else.
Well, if this is a new cult that started up, it's one of the priests that we found here, you know, has started up or whatever. This could be that. I mean, if he is a snake person, it would make sense that they might worship a mother of scale, you know, a snake mother, god. So this might be the cult that's infiltrating everything in Veronia.
I think that's a very accurate assessment of what's going on.
Could that be? Could that person have anything to do with Lauren? That because Churis was working for the Children of Yig, and Kavagar left to go find some woman. Maybe she's also a Children of Yig, or from whatever Churis did there.
Well, didn't they describe her? I mean, we saw the snake people statues down there, right?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it would. I mean, if I'm allowed to put two and two together here, that might be the woman that Kavagar went after. She might be the mother of scale. She might be making a power play by infiltrating, through this cult, this new religion that the priest told us had spread all over Veronia.
Has anybody ever described what she looked like? So she could be a Yig.
No, well, no, we know she's a half dragon.
Oh.
Yeah. But I mean, it would make total sense for, I mean, like the guy said, when we talked to the priest last time, he said that this was the new religion in Veronia that, you know, had a lot of new followers, was making a lot of in-ground or inroads or whatever. It would make sense that snake people, if they were infiltrating under that illusion, you know, and infiltrating with their cult, would be worshippers of this mother of scale. And maybe the sparrow, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. The sparrow and bat thing might just be like a cover for their own cult.
Wasn't she also called the spell stealer?
Lauren?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't that say something about somebody taking spells?
Well, that would explain why she'd be able to impart her followers with seemingly, you know, or spells that seem like clerical spells but actually aren't.
Ravy, did it say something about someone stealing spells in that
letter? Yeah, it says the heart of the avarice has stolen spells, the feather serpents, which I would believe were the Yig, mm-hmm. and seeks the old covens in the sea of sand to give rise to the ageless viper.
Okay, if I may roll a knowledge religion check broadly.
Go for it.
Afterwards, I would like to roll a knowledge planes check for that space between line. Yeah.
Heart of avarice, that would be greed. What of the sins, what did greed look like?
It was Lauren.
So little.
It was Lauren.
Her name is Lauren.
Lauren.
Okay, so the knowledge planes is going to get you some stuff. The knowledge religion isn't going to get you anything.
I'm going to make a
That's going to be a good planar bowl as well. Oh, yeah, okay. Arcane's going to help you. Right, I'm going to give you guys some facts. Feel free to discuss them. When things are capitalized, they're definitely talking about an entity. So, Wrath, Pride, the North Wind, the Old Coven, the Sea of Sand, the Ageless Viper, the Endless Night, the Mother of Scale. Those are entities. Those are individuals. You're definitely going to get that. The Knowledge Planes, the Space Between. There's always been rumors that there was, and because of your, because of Logoth's entrapment for a prolonged period of time in that mirror, there has always been rumors that there is a space between worlds. It's a membrane that separates actual realities, not just dimensions or planes, but completely different causality, A to Bs. So alternate universes, alternate timelines, alternate beginnings and ends. And there is almost like a web work of energy that isn't necessarily arcane or divine or even psionic, that it's this other energy. It's the energy the Silver Cord is made of. And that energy is sort of in this void-like wild space. You know, it's rumored to exist in like a membrane around known realities, separating them from each other, creating kind of a dimensional barrier. And that is, just kind of reading this is sort of kind of what you're thinking maybe it's referencing. But that's a very kind of small school of thought. It's like a Tesla in a world of Edison. Like it's a different concept. Expanded progression. So all of the realities are set within the membrane. Because, you know, string theory gets applied to role-playing games when I'm doing shit. You would need a door. And I think that's good enough for that, those roles. And then religion. Ravy's going to know that the old covens, there were old arcane worshipping covens that existed thousands of years ago, and they may still exist now. They may have just gone underground. They were typically elven, humanoid, or hag kind of entities, and they existed in the Southlands, below the teeth of the world, you know, the southern part of the continent that you guys are in. The Sea of Sands would have been possibly another name for the Dune Sea, which is the largest desert in all of Maya.
What about any roles for this ageless viper?
Nothing's popping anything for that.
Okay.
I would assume that's the mother of scale.
Hmm? Oh. Yep. Yes, Crandall was a barb devil. Its name was Crandall. It told you what its name was. Yes.
We
still need to go talk to this Haggarith, Lord of Chain and Possessor of Tiny Children, and we're here, right? Like, how far, looking out, how far is it to Varonia?
You could probably make
7 days, wasn't it?
Four. You could probably make it in 4 days.
We're so close, and this has taken us a stupid amount of time to get this far.
And there's horses, so you could probably make it even quicker.
Yeah, I was like, I can summon a horse, guys.
That's awesome.
Okay, let's just go to Varonia, and maybe we can find a place to actually rest that, you know, will be a bit more comfortable than a dungeon of perpetual sunlight. And maybe with some rest, we can come up with a better plan.
Yeah, there's a tree on fire now next to the big tent.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this fire's going to go for a while, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I vote for going to Varonia as well, mainly because, I mean, what this priest said is true, I mean, perhaps that, you know, the snake cult or whatever has infiltrated all the temples of Varonia, or become, you know, a dominant religion in Varonia, at least. We should at least see what's going on there. I mean, and, you know, Nadia makes a good point about us taking over a year to get to go see Hagrath, so for both those reasons, I'd like to go. Plus, I haven't been to a Temple of Klang in over a year. I really kind of need to do that.
All right,
y'all, so loot. I'm reading.
The staff is melted, so the head of the staff, which was the infinity symbol with the bat and the sparrow, has been melted. There's a few belt pouches on what's left of the priest, but they're mainly just looks like components, which, again, strange. Why would he have spell components if he was a divine caster?
I'd like to take that.
Okay.
Is that okay, everybody?
Sure. Mativus, if you want, I can use my mage hand to hold the flask and try to deluge some of this.
Sure.
You could also pick up that staff head and get it out of the fire.
Oh, no, it got melted when when they were fighting him. I believe Ravy fire blasted his face up, burned like his whole face and the
staff,
and the chest got burned out.
Like an Indiana Jones?
Yeah, pretty much.
I do that. I use Mage Hand to hold the flask and sort of diluge what I can to the fire.
It's sort of doing it. You think it's kind of a half-ass job.
But at least it'll save the forest.
All the ass we got.
Is that that symbol you were talking about, the infinity symbol with the sparrow and the bat, is that on anything else besides that staff?
Well, he did have it on a medallion kind of around his neck, but that's gone. Like, he got decimated.
Because, I mean, this is just me thinking out loud again. Sorry, I know I keep doing this.
That's fine.
But if... What if the swallow symbolizes those above and the bat symbolizes those below?
I was wondering that too.
The symbol is like the snake swallowing them all or covering them all. You know what I mean?
I was wondering if the bat could symbolize Lauren. And if they are dragons instead of children of Yig, that would make sense too.
But like,
because they have like bat-like wings.
Right. But if it's a snake, if it's these snake people trying to infiltrate, the infinity symbol itself could symbolize the snakes trying to gain power above and below.
Hey, Anton. I pulled a map out earlier when we were in the Dawnstone Temple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a look at it now and see if anything on it has changed.
The wood map?
That is...
Yes, the lights. Remember there was two lights that were immobile and one that had moved towards the coast?
Mm-hmm.
So the one that moved towards the coast is now sitting in the northern sea. It's just sitting there. It's not moving.
I'm going to put the map down and call everybody over to look at the map.
Where is the northern sea?
To the north.
When you guys came out of that mountain?
Yeah.
And you looked north? And there was the ice face that went all the way down to that small, like, sheet of ice, like probably 2 football field wide ice shelf that was like the ice beach going into the northern sea. Yeah, that big, giant-ass body of water, that's the northern sea.
So we were just there, and it will take us like another week to get there?
Oh, yeah, easily. It was back up the top of the mountain. And there was just a tiny spire that was like 120 miles off the coast. That's about where the little light is sitting.
It's where the north wind sits.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly where the north wind sits.
Wait, that's in the letter, isn't it?
Yes. Waiting for war to start.
Oh, but is it a capital W for war? Where'd it go? Because if it's war, we know an ally to war. Dinah? No. Anton, which one of the awesome hags was a follower of war? It Jorgen, wasn't Dinah. Dinah got killed.
Jorgen is the god of war, right?
Jorgen, yeah.
Yeah, but we met three hags, and one of them definitely followed war.
It's not a capital
not
W, you say.
Mm-hmm.
It was Kimbra's wife, I think.
Ada?
It was Ada.
Ada.
But the note, it's a lowercase W, so it's not, okay. I'm guessing it's referring to a war rather than the war.
Is the sparrow relevant in any religious circles?
Is the sparrow? Yes, the sparrow is relevant in a lot of religious circles.
But a bat is not.
A bat is an omen. Throw me knowledge religion, I'll give you a hint if you get something good.
It's a bat omen.
15. 11's not going to cut it. 15's kind of close. Anybody else?
Sure, yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
26 will be useful. Hey, between the 15, the 26, and the 20, and the 16. Typically in allegorical iconography, sparrows are used in Maya as doves are used in the Judeo-Christian faiths. And in typically in allegorical depictions in Maya, bats are used very similarly as they are used in the Judeo-Christian faith. So if one were to depict the abyss or the abyssal plains or the nine levels, they would use bats in the backgrounds. And if one were to depict Elysium or the Silver Cities, they would use sparrows.
Like I was saying, one above and one below. But with the symbol around them is the snakes.
That's a very, very good guess.
Throne of Stars. Mm-hmm. Is that back at home?
Is it?
That is a yes. Sorry. Yes.
And Ravy's always right.
Been claimed by a shadow. Ben, which what we already did and what is coming.
So then maybe we should go see what Mr. Hagrath has to say about what's going to come out through the door.
Yes.
And then we can figure out where to go next. There's so many places to go. Sea of Sands, that spire. Home would be...
I'm going to say, if we should maybe go see Hagrath and then, or even before, maybe we should start getting people out of the town. Because if shit's going to start coming out of that door, it'll decimate the village.
Who was the guy, really quick, who didn't get what he wanted? He was doing the experiments. I have this really bad poetry.
Churis. Kavagar's poetry.
Churis was doing the experiments to give Kavagar some
power.
And
he was a Rakshasa.
Is Kavagar the ageless viper?
Is he?
Oh, Ravy.
Yeah, well, did we figure out if he was still alive? Because all that stuff was like thousands of years old, wasn't it?
Yeah, it seemed like he had been there for a long time and had left like relatively recently, but that's iffy how.
But that place itself affects time.
Yeah.
We've been in there for a year and it only filmed like a couple of weeks for us. So it could be just kind of like magic old, but mm-hmm. that place has made him seem like he's ageless.
The heart of the avarice has stolen spells of the feather serpents. So if Lauren stole the spells from Kavagar, no.
The feathered serpents, I believe, are the children of Yig, which would...
Yes.
Which would be Kavagar, and...
But she doesn't need to give rise to the Ageless Viper if the Ageless Viper is Kavagar. She would be giving rise to an Ageless Viper that would be...
You're getting there.
Oh. Let's see. She stole it from Kavagar.
It could be Anu. We found him there.
I mean, ageless... if he is who we think he is, he has been known to sleep a really long time.
But why would she want to wake up someone so nice?
Dragons aren't always nice, dear.
Anu is wonderful.
Well, Anu is kind of just a vessel, isn't he? Because I probably haven't mentioned this before, but my sword talks to me. I think I may have shown it a bit now and then.
We've all seen you walk off and talk to your sword. That's nothing new.
But yeah, a god resides
in the sword. You all knew about this?
I wasn't hiding it.
Well, I thought you were just like, you know, kind of like an imaginary friend, you know, a comfort blanket or something.
Well, basically, I've had a god in this sword. Hence why when I picked up that other sword, shit went pretty mad. And I've also recently found out the same god is actually in Anu and using him as a vessel.
Maybe he's not a vessel. Maybe he is your god.
No, he told me Anu is a vessel. So Anu is a baby dragon, but my god is using his body to do his bidding, basically, in the mortal realms. Once Anu dies, the god will go into something else. I'm not saying he's going to die soon or anything like that, just natural causes, hopefully.
Yes, but you wouldn't worship a evil god, someone that would bring about and like work with Loren and bring about some endless kingdom and take over the prime.
I would hope not, but that's the thing about evil. Everyone's evil to somebody.
We all have the capability. Oh, sorry. No, speak up louder, Logoth.
All dragons are...
But there's the thing. Anu isn't acting as a dragon. It is a dragon, but it's controlled by something else.
The vessel.
So your god is not a dragon?
No, I like out this... Well, kind of. Kind of like a dragon-spider mix.
A spider?
Like a...
If Wrath has been freed, why are they seeking pride in the space between spaces?
Pride lost in that...
is lost.
Could it be pride then? Because if you're in the space between spaces for a long time, that seems like a terrible place to be.
Or if these snake people are coming from the space between spaces, maybe they have pride trapped as part of a way to get Wrath and Pride off the chessboard.
Who speaks Draconic?
Me.
Me.
I do.
Make a perception check while you're all talking. Alligan hears it. Nighty hears it. Ravy hears it. You just hear this little voice go, because Wrath doesn't like the rest of them.
Was that Anu?
But, yeah.
I squeeze Anu's cheeks. Thank you.
You're squeeze... It just spoke.
I know, he's so cute.
Dragons
speak for
don't
a time.
Speak.
He's not a dragon.
Anu does. Anu and I have talked a little.
This is so weird.
Yes, only a little.
Anu is very cute and very sweet and just told us that Wrath would be hiding in the space between spaces because Wrath doesn't like everybody else?
No, Wrath doesn't hide. Wrath doesn't hide from anything. Wrath just doesn't like the dark. He's scared of the dark. Why would Wrath go into the dark?
Dark is what the Ageless Viper wants.
And Wrath doesn't like dark. Not me. It likes me. But it doesn't like dark, as in dark one are dark.
Anu?
Yes?
Who are you? As in me, you. Who are you?
It lets out a sound. It's not really definable by anything.
So, I think Ravy's having a meltdown.
Near as we can figure, this is the reincarnation of Dark, with two R's.
But he wants to be called Anu. He told me. Well, I mean, you could change your mind at any time, but...
It's just looking around.
Right, we could talk as we ride on the horses, or I have... is anybody needing some healing or needing us to take a rest for replenishing spells or such?
Bookmage. Waif is talking to Ravy. Bookmage?
Oh, yes?
I think we should go. I think the smoke and fire might bring a lot of attention.
All right. Let's get out of here. Also, it's really smoky.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit hard to breathe. We could steal these horses. Or...
It wouldn't be stealing now. They've been abandoned. Them.
Let's save these horses.
Save them from jerks.
Save them from fire, yes.
Fires and a jerk. And a sneaky jerk.
Okay, so between Ravy's horse that she can summon, the three horses that were left, the foo dog, I think all of you have enough mounts between... everybody who's there. So you guys kind of mount up and start heading towards the city.
Sounds good.
Okay.
You guys are riding. You can keep having conversations. I'm just going to, for sake of story, you're cruising through the valley.
This I Am the Last, are we, is that talking about, is that straight from Crandall himself that I Am the Last, or is that someone else?
Typically when demonic entities speak, they refer to themselves as the last, and the Odd and Void is a sort of representation of the nothingness or entropy. So when they say that they speak for the Void, it's more of a to whom it may concern. if an infernal entity or an abyssal entity says, I am the last, I speak to the audience void, it really does just kind of translate into a to whom it may concern, because they're speaking to entropy or the anti-life equation sort of scenario.
Can I see if I recognize the seal in the bottom right there?
Sure.
Would that be an arcana, planes, or religion?
That's a religion all day. Religion.
If the nest of vipers are already in this place and preparing a second kingdom for the Mother of Scale, the Dawnstone's banded.
Yes.
But was originally being prepared for.
Yes.
And that's when the Seven showed up and fought them. We found the remnants of their weapons. Time doesn't work.
You're getting there. Jim, what you would know is that that is the Seal of Barbatos. Roll me a d6 and I will give you the fact that you know about Barbatos as he relates to Maya. B3. Okay. Barbatos appeared at Hell's Gate, bringing with him an entire mortal world's worth of souls as a gift for Azumandius. He is the only entity to hold dominion over one of the 9 levels of hell that is neither devil nor demon. Nobody knows what exactly Barbatos is, but that is the Seal of Barbatos.
So is Crandall somehow aligned with Barbatos or a follower of?
I would think if the seal was on there, maybe the note was from Barbatos, like signing it like you would.
It seems like. Why would Barbatos write some?
Well, if the snake cult is trying to rule above and below, he has just as much to lose as anyone else in the hierarchy of the gods above or below if they took over. So that's probably why he'd write it, you know? He's looking after his own interests like a demon or devil would.
And maybe he sent Crandall up here to hand out notes.
All right. So in the beginning of the note, it says, I will tell the Odd and Void, which is us.
Anyone, really.
Well, yeah, but it's also the great old ones, things that cannot be in the present aeon. Does that mean we've messed up their timeline?
We just found out that we lost some time. It totally messed with Allegan's head. Oh, no, wrong show. Was that the wrong show? Did I just do a Crown of Queens thing?
No, it's okay. There's timelines that are being crossed back and forth.
Mm-hmm. I will speak to my master tonight. I cannot be present.
I look at Anu.
Anu looks at you.
And I go, is Pride resides where you actually reside?
No.
Okay.
I don't know where Pride is, but I would never align myself with it.
No, it's just because from this note, I'll tell you some stuff about Anu, who is actually a god called Dark, with 2 R's.
Always two.
He's kind of not him. He's more like an echo of himself, because some shit happened, and like, him and his brother kind of got like corrupted. They had a big fight, and so he's kind of echo. He could be in that space between spaces.
Would Wrath be your brother?
No,
his brother is Nefeth.
No.
They're not related.
No. I would no. A follower, if I'm lucky, but never my brother.
No, Wrath is freed upon the prime.
No, Wrath is lost in the space between spaces.
No, Pride is in the space between spaces. Wrath put himself there to avoid the coming dark.
Because Wrath has to find Pride.
Why?
It's his best friend.
Aww.
Seven were not the ones we were supposed to be worried about.
No.
They were the ones fighting for us.
Yeah, no.
No.
Fighting for themselves?
Is it the snake people we need to worry about?
Yes.
Ultimately, yes. We've always needed to worry about the snake people, but why were they fighting them in particular? They brought a war to them just as well.
Wrath and Pride might be the only thing that could stop them all.
Why are they?
Because the rest of them don't like Wrath and Pride. Pride's an asshole. Wrath's going to eat them. They don't like them.
Pestilence.
Yes.
Pestilence is wandering?
Yes.
Yes, that's Goom.
Why is Pestilence wandering?
Because he doesn't want people to capture him and make him open up the stables. At least that's what I got from Goom.
If he opens up that door, he might allow that the snake people or whatever to get access.
To the horses.
To the horses. And if they
or the horsemen. The horsemen horses.
Right. And if they could control them, that might be part of the key to controlling everything else they're trying to get make a gambit for.
The snake people definitely aren't like clones like we found in the underground sea. They're not like a result of an experiment like that.
What was the question?
Because we found all that cloning stuff with the goblins trying to make another pestilence, right?
Yes, that is correct.
The snake people aren't another version of that from another horseman, are they? They're definitely a race that's always been there.
Are you asking me, Anton?
But you and Anu, kind of thing.
Anu doesn't know anything about it, and I'm not giving you any answers. He doesn't know anything. I don't know anything about... Anu's response would be, I don't remember anything about my time down there. My mind was not my own until I left, and it was allowed to grow.
Because I've been thinking, if they was making stuff from one of the horsemen, who's to say somebody else hasn't done it? And the results of that may be more successful, and they've kind of formed another religion based from their creation or something like that.
Hold on.
The old coven, is Kendril a part of the old coven?
I don't know who that is.
Maybe I'm saying her name wrong. The sorceress, the harpy queen, the hag goddess?
Nydia, where did Goom say he was going?
Well, okay. He went on a boat over some water and went up some stairs to get to y'all. He stayed on the other side of the water. He went in the other direction that we went.
Ah.
But that would have been back the way we came from.
That's not good. So if Pride and Wrath are in the space of...
I think Goom is good. I think Goom is a very nice person.
No, not what's inside of him.
No, I saw, like, there were dead people. I assume, like, people, creatures that y'all had killed. And they could have sat there and just made the place sick. And instead he sped up their decay and...
Yeah, because he can do that.
But it was a good thing. And he didn't want to hurt anybody.
Just because he doesn't want to hurt anybody doesn't mean the thing inside of him doesn't.
I think if anyone should have pestilence, I think he's the one.
Yeah, but he's keeping pestilence lost, therefore away from his
horse. If he went to his horse, though, then that would be a bad thing, in his opinion. The children of Yeg and the old coven and all those folks that are wanting to start this war would have access to them.
The North Wind. Is the North Wind war or is the North Wind famine?
Famine.
Remember all the hungry Yetis we saw?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that passed through, didn't it?
North Wind's famine.
All right. So in theory, famine is not a problem until war breaks out. Not the war, but there's a prophecy there basically saying that a war is coming. So if we can stop that war, famine won't do jack.
Is that what you...
Well, yeah, because it was a lowercase w.
It's not how it works.
Well, it wasn't referring to the god of war, the horseman war. It was referring to a war.
I'm also thinking that all this shuffling around with the different powers on Earth and above and below is going to be advantageous to the sleeping serpent queen or whatever phrasing. I mean, if you wanted to take over above and below, wouldn't you want all the gods and all the everything to be in chaos? You could march right in and make your bid for power.
Well, it's like she's controlling them, whoever this dream whisper.
To her advantage. She's also the stealer of spells and the serpent, the one who's trying, she's trying to make her way, into the sun.
The dream whisper. Her
I'm just saying, if I were a serpent god lady and I wanted to take over, I would put everything in the deepest shit I possibly could, and that would make it a lot easier for me to walk on in and make my bid for power.
What would be the Aboleth?
Aboleth are entities. They're large, ageless, undersea beings of phenomenal power and control.
I know. The Dream Whisperer. She the one that caused the feud between you and your brother.
She has been named that from time to time.
Okay. So, you know, I said Dark is kind of like an echo of himself. It's because one of them was corrupted by someone who whispered to them while they were sleeping and caused the two to fight. And every time they died in this fight, the memories were lost, if I'm remembering correctly. And what Dark is now is kind of like an echo of a previous version of himself, because the physical one is constantly in this fight with Malphus. Each time they die, they lose their memories. And this is because someone corrupted one of them.
This one hasn't been corrupted yet, that we know of.
True, each time they wake up, they're just full of rage, right? And they just go at it. So, like, the corruption's kind of, like, set in stone. But the memory of the older self before the corruption still exists in the plane, in this, like, space between spaces. And that's what is in Anu. So if maybe we can try and get Anu back into his original form, that might help.
Okay, we're on horses, so I can't look at my map anymore. But we need to hurry.
Agree. I 100% agree. Let's hurry to Vronia.
Like, even quicker than what we're doing. We need to figure something out, and we need to get there fast.
I could cast haste.
On each of the horses?
What?
On each of the horses?
On all of us.
That would be awesome, right? Great. Just go for it, Gregory. Please.
Oh, no. He holds up the staff with the owl on the head of it, and the wings kind of open up, and then you all just kind of feel this energy dropping over you. It, like, drifts down, and then everything around you is just moving much quicker.
We start talking really fast, too?
No. You guys are inside of, like, a pocket, like a little
bubble. We need to get there really, really fast! No, just kidding.
And you guys can kind of see the walled city kind of coming up in the distance, and he's like, I gotta ratchet it back, and he starts kind of muttering and moving the staff around, and as he does that, like, it starts to drop off, and you guys find yourselves at the walled city of Vronia.
Well, before we get closer, we had a plan or something, didn't we, in case something went wrong? We picked up some kind of spike thing. Galligan, you got it correctly?
Ogun should have that.
Yeah, I have it.
I dismount my horse and immediately walk inside.
Into the city?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't want to lose them in the city, so I'm going to follow her.
Okay. Yeah, don't use that yet, because then you would evict me and...
We're not using it right now at all. Like, just follow. We need to go talk right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Agreed.
So you guys, you make it into the city. Now there's not going to be a lot of NPCs that I put on the map, but just accept that there's a fairly large amount of hustle and bustle and population. It's a city. As you guys kind of come through the central gates, there is like a large well that is surrounded by condensed gravel. It's like a very dense, thick gravel that looks like it's being held together with sort of a mortar. It's like a very proto version of concrete. And that sort of makes the roadways in the city. There's a lot of vendor carts and trading caravan that have set up in the entranceway of the city. As you guys come in, to the east is the library. To the north is the church. And to the west is kind of the inn district, where there's like your shops and your forge works and your brewery and your like your various sort of stabling establishments and things like that.
Are we seeing any of that symbol of the sparrow and the bat?
Yeah, it's everywhere, but not like overly done, but it's definitely not like hidden. And they're also, if you want to throw me a perception check real quick, you guys aren't seeing any other religions represented here.
We won't, because this is an old kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Quick question as well.
That's a new religion.
Yeah.
How did we enter the city? The doors just open?
Yeah, the doors have been open. Their caravans are coming in and out. Guards, but there's not a lot of... It doesn't seem as militant as one would have expected a walled city to be.
This isn't really a walled city. This city, we need to find Hagrid.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, they didn't check for any signs of sickness as we entered.
Nope.
Because the city doesn't experience sickness.
Oh, true.
But they used to be afraid of it, at least. Otherwise, the city wouldn't be walled.
In a different time, yes.
Yeah, I forgot about the barrier thing.
Or if something else was keeping them safe, maybe this rogue religion that we keep running into.
Gregory, when you left a year ago, does this place seem different to you now?
Oh, no, it for the most part looks the same. I spent most of my time in the library, so I don't really, didn't spend much time outside of the city. My mother was a forge master.
Gregory, can you take us to Hagrith?
Sure.
Waif, is it safe for you to be in public?
And you can, when you kind of look at her, she's always standing in his shadow. And she just kind of pulls the hood a little bit more over her head. And it literally just looks like... you remember the bridge in Last Crusade? Where, like, if at one angle it looked like rocks, but the minute it turns, it just looks like a pit? Yeah, she blends real well.
Hey, Anu, maybe you want to wrap yourself around my arm under the robe. There should be plenty of space in there.
Yeah, he's already in your robe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not out publicly.
We have a meeting. Might not go well.
When do I ever our meetings go well?
Well...
Go on, let's go kill this guy.
This one's gonna be interesting. Gregory, lead the way.
Of course. So he starts walking you guys through the city. Let me hide areas again. Switch out the maps real quick. There are lots of maps for this place.
Oh yeah, I know we'll be going to the library. Read a motherfucking book.
Do we see any more of those priests as we're walking through the city?
Yes, they're probably one in every 25 people. There are lots of them.
Are they eyeing us up at all when we walk past?
Nah, actually, nobody's really paying attention to you.
Yeah, if I say hello to a person we're passing, do they look at us?
They do react, yes. But they don't... they don't react like, oh, there's a half-orc in the city. Like, they just... You know, it's like
if you were traveling down a street in New York and started saying hi to random people.
Pretty much, yeah.
Except they would, like, start cussing at you. Don't want to say hi to me. Fuck you and your hi.
My odd language.
That was my
abilities.
That was my New York.
No, by language, I'm like, where's your New York accent?
I don't have one. I got a North Carolina accent and this. That's it.
I'm sorry. Say again.
Does anybody have
true sight?
The ability or spell?
Not in this game.
I'm assuming they probably all are. But if we use that dispel again, that'd probably be bad for us right now. And the fact they're probably not reacting to us because the fact that they seem to be safe from the sickness, the city's open for business. They obviously must get a lot of traffic in and out because when we arrived, there was loads of wagons coming in.
And this is a huge city. Not everybody's going to know everybody. They may think that we live there or they get so many visitors, they don't care.
Has it been a couple of days since we ran into the tents?
It's been about 24 hours.
Okay.
We haven't slept.
Just a reminder, they have been expecting us for a year.
Yes, they have.
So anything that's been prepared for us is already in play.
Yes, it is. And with that, Gregory leads you to a large cobalt blue stone temple. The stone seems strange. It's almost like somebody has taken the sea and made it into stone. It seems to have a moray pattern that exists just underneath the surface. In the same way that Dawnstone or Starstone reacts, one with radiant light and the other with perpetual twilight, this seems to have a very aquatic vibe to it. Gregory walks you up the front steps and he says, this looks a little different. And he's looking around and he says,
what's the difference, Gregory?
There's normally more birds. I don't hear any wrens. I don't hear any.
She's here.
I don't hear any owls. I just hear sparrows. And as he says that, you guys walk through the archway into the foyer of this massive temple. And there are three cloaked figures who stand in front of you, all of them wearing the infinity symbol with the sparrow and the bat. And you can see down everything's lit internally. There's like a magic glamour on everything, so it all has like a kind of a fairy fire light to it, revealing all shadows, save one that's still doing a good job blending. And you can see down at the end in the large congregational room opposite you, there are two massive female statues in front of some pews. That's about all you can see from where you are, but the statues are huge. And it seems to be of two women holding bows, but that's about all you can tell from this vantage point. And a robed figure, very much like the one you encountered in the wood, happily walks up to you. Two more figures kind of stepping in.
I softly whisper to Allegan, don't light anything on fire.
Ah, greetings from the Twin Mothers. How may we help you today?
We were looking to meet with someone in the city
by the
name of Hagrid.
And they kind of share a look. We know no one by that name, madam.
Oh, we must be in the wrong place then.
But father, I do believe, and you almost feel like something silences Gregory fairly quickly, as if an unseen hand clamps over his mouth.
Does Gregory seem to recognize these priests?
Yes,
like,
but...
he knows them by name, or...
He's not talking right now. It's as if there is an invisible hand over his mouth.
I told you. It's not Waif.
We should probably go and find our friend that we've lost. Sorry. Nice temple.
May the Twin Mothers be with you, and hopefully you find your friend.
The Twin Mothers, who might they be?
The Queen of Stars and her twin sister, the Queen of Twilight.
Do they have any other names?
Ah, yes, Mistress Tempt and Hecate.
Okay. And they're twins?
They are indeed.
No other siblings?
Oh, no more than two. Never more than two.
Do they like snakes?
They enjoy the company of all creatures, above and below.
Yeah, but like any snakes, like vipers or anything like that, you know.
Madam, if heptology is something you wish to study, perhaps you would seek something in a different district. Snakes do not dwell in these corners.
Ah, so like the library.
If you could get in, by all means.
Why wouldn't we be able to get into the library?
The Solarians, they've locked the library down and are busy studying.
Oh, okay. Well, not a problem. We'll try to get permission.
Good day to you.
Thank you.
Of course, we could give you some of our literature. Hold one moment, please. And one of the priests kind of pulls a scroll out and hands it to you. And there's like a curt nod. They seem off-put.
All right, let's go, guys, now.
All right, so you guys, everybody backing out of the temple?
Yeah.
We need to get to the library.
And as soon as we get out of earshot of these priests, I'm going to look at everybody and say, I hate to say I told you so, but...
Hey, sirs, real quick, we're here to see a demonic lord of chains. And by the way, is your church at all interested in snakes or serpents or anything related to evil? Maybe we need to refine our questions just nope. A little bit.
Ravy is very, very direct.
No, we
listen,
won't.
Hey,
it was fine for me. And we're not dead. And unlike you, talking to all the demons and making friends with them and being on other planes, sometimes the more direct approach is better than, I don't know, giving half your personhood away. Are you breathing yet?
You still got that gem heart?
Hey, that is my personal possession.
Personal possession.
And now you are talking to whom on the other end of that one?
A friend.
Yes.
From everything we've been through and done, that went pretty well.
Okay.
Let's not knock it on the head.
I didn't sit on the chair. Okay, so you can stop.
To be fair, you did time to do that.
I didn't tell him to sit on the chair. I wasn't even there. You were there.
Exactly. You weren't there.
Yeah, we decided that was your fault.
How is that my fault?
I don't know, but there was like an hour-long conversation where they did decide it was your fault. They didn't have a good reason for it.
But you remember that. Yeah. Fault.
We came and consulted you about the chair, and you said, do whatever.
This is me leaving the group behind. I'm going to the library now. You guys can go
hang out with your new buddies. Please stop. Before you wander off, can we at least find somewhere to reconvene later? Because I'm going to go to my temple.
And I got a very uncomfortable vibe, and then you said, we're not dead. But there's always the possibility that they may try to make that happen later on. So maybe we could be extra on our guard and careful and maybe not split up.
And Gregory looks like exhausted. Maybe we could sleep.
That would be good too.
That's a real good point, yeah.
Why don't we find an inn that we could use as a home base and then we can break off.
You guys can find an inn. I need to get to the library.
The library might be able to tell us a good place to stay because they seem like they're going to be safer than these sparrow bat people.
Well, if the library is in lockdown and they're leaving the library alone, I would rather stay in a library than an inn.
I am with you.
Guys, and Gregory points, and you see what looks like an old cathedral. And this cathedral is battered all to high hell. It looks like the gods themselves have tried to tear this thing down. You could see through it, and there's smoke blooming out of it. And Gregory points and says, that's the library.
Okay.
Ah!
Well, let's go see if there's survivors. Because if they're locking it down from the priests and stuff, they're the people that we probably want to help out.
So you guys start to get close to it. You pass, just so you can kind of see where you're going on the map. There's a large dragon statue that's to the south. It looks like a large group has gathered, all of them with different bladed implements, and each of them is trying their luck cutting the head off the statue. You even see a couple of blades breaking. As you kind of rush past that, you see this building right here. Seems to be some sort of forge. This building right here looks to be some sort of inn. And as you guys make your way to about here, Ravy, throw me a perception check. It's okay. No worries.
Yeah.
That was climb, not perception.
Like I said, my laptop froze.
And as we're sitting there, all of a sudden, Ravy just climbs up the side of the building.
He's at a higher...
19 is more than enough for her to see what she needs to see.
Because I'm up so high.
As you're looking, your heart kind of sinks because you know it's a total loss. But then something kind of flashes as you look closer, and it looks like the doors are barred from the outside. And that's where we're going to end it.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Already?
Why would those idiots lock the door from the outside?
I don't know. Maybe you should go say hi to your new chums.
We'll be right back.
Black hole sun, won't come, wash away. Oh, wait, that wasn't who we were fighting. Oh, sorry.
Anyway. Damn it.
Black hole sun! Anyway, sorry. I
love that video where their faces are all melty.
It's kind of one of my favorite ones. It's awesome. I'm a kid of the 80s and 90s.
I like Blind Melon's No Rain. That I'll always play like right after it. The little girl in the bumblebee outfit.
Yeah, it really did always play right after it on MTV.
It was like they had a back-to-back all the time.
Yep. My arcade would play MTV like live, and we'd be playing like Mortal Kombat or Killer Instincts.
Nice.
And, like, those videos are very... very poignant in my childhood and life. Sorry.
No, that's awesome. It's like I can't listen to anything off of Third Eye Blind's first album without thinking about Metal Gear Solid because it came out at the same time. So I was listening to it on repeat while playing Metal Gear.
Nice.
Yeah.
Those halcyon days when MTV actually played music.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but back then, people still complained that they didn't play enough music.
Yeah, because they were like, well, I don't understand this Aeon Flux. Like, what's going on here?
Who would ever watch The Head? This show doesn't make any sense. Shut up, it's awesome. Or The Max when that was on there, because Sam Keith was a god.
Forgive me if I've told this story before, but I still have VHS copies of both Liquid Television and Adult Swim.
That's awesome.
Because I knew they would be too, I thought they would be too weird and they would never last and they would disappear and become obscure and I would never have copies of them.
You were safe and allayed in your fears, unfortunately.
I'm glad to have been, you know. Space Ghost belongs to everyone.
Truth.
Anyway, sorry about that trip down memory lane.
No, you're good.
No, that was
you're
great. Good. I helped raise a young child on that song that we would sing it together all the time.
Aww.
That and Cracker, the Spin the World song.
Yeah.
We would sing it together. Oh, and Violent Femme, but that was not current music at the time.
It's okay. Behind the boathouse, I would show you my Derek secret.
Or stand in the corner. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight.
The sky was
losing my religion role.
Sky was violent indeed.
Mm-hmm.
We're old.
Can you do karaoke over roll 20?
Probably, but...
We are in ye old bar once again.
Sorry, Jim, go on.
I was just going to say, my kids listen to Violent Femmes and Devo and a bunch of stuff that's not current either.
Because
so.
We have awesome access to all the music now. You don't have to just have a record player anymore.
You mean you don't have Napster anymore?
No, I had LimeWire. Thank you.
Excuse me, Napster was first.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yep, it was pre-Kazaa.
Napster was pre-Kazaa, yeah, pre-LimeWire, and Emule, and DonkeyFile, and various other programs I used afterwards for anime.
Oh, because...
Well, that blended together for me, all that period.
Yeah, okay. Poor old lady still paying back her Napster.
Wait, are you? Are you the old lady you're talking about?
No. She very much so exists. She is still paying off the, what was it, $15 million she owes the government.
Oh, that anyway. Lady. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, just those two bets, Matt G.
We'll be right back.